It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis live from the Republican National Convention in Cleveland.
Every time we come back to you, Ro, I kind of brace myself. You know, I hear the crowd. I'm like, because yesterday that coup happened as soon as we came back to you on the floor of the convention.
Right. Well, we're up in our broadcast position at the queue. But the floor, we can bring the floor. This is what's happening on the floor right now. They're just piping in music. I see a lot of the white guy overbite to this. A lot of Republicans down there doing some dancing. Yeah. And the Texans are wearing the hats and the flag of Texas shirts. Congressman Peter Roskam is here. Did you just get into that?
I've resisted that dance.
Yes,
totally.
I can see you doing it, though.
Keep my head down and avoid eye contact.
Good choice.
Does your wife ever go, hey, we're going out dance? We got to go on the dance floor now, like at a wedding. That's all right. I'll stay here. No, I'm good. I got it. All right. So, have you been down to the floor yet?
I was down on the floor yesterday, and I'll go back this evening.
Yeah. Now they're going to do this roll call. Now you're not an official delegate.
That's
here,
right.
Okay, so you're here as an observer.
That's
like
right.
A UN observer.
Yeah. A little color commentary.
Yeah,
you'll notice the DuPage guys.
Yeah, that's right. He's wearing a powder blue helmet in the Illinois delegation. He's the guy trying to keep the DuPage guys away from the downstate guys, away from the one Cook County guy. And then, no. Anyway, there is going to be an interesting move because Ted Cruz, there's a petition circulating right now to get Ted Cruz's name put into nomination. To get enough signatures of delegates on that, then they will offer that to the floor. Now, there'll be probably a voice vote, yes, no. And it'll be very similar to what happened yesterday. Now, the speculation is when it is voted down by voice vote, then the Cruz delegates will make a statement by walking out.
There you go. So this is what you do when you don't have the votes. You try and create as much difficulty and consternation. You'll notice this every once in a while in Congress or the Illinois General Assembly. There will be, a minority. The minority party is outraged and scandalized by something that happens, and they say, we're going to leave the building. And then they leave for a couple of hours, and then they come back.
Right. So what Colorado did yesterday when they found out there was no food out in the courtyard. Swear to God. There's like a food shortage.
What, no Cheetos?
Yeah, no, there's like a food problem here getting this because the Secret Service has to check all the food before it comes in. So it's been very slow in coming. So they went out onto the little parkway here where there's like an outdoor little festival area where you can watch. It's actually kind of fun to watch the actual proceedings out there. Because the sun is setting and Cleveland is actually sort of a pretty day.
Yeah, it's a little cooler by the lake action
yeah.
going on.
Mm-hmm. It is, right? Exactly. And so it's got this. And so anyway, they all went out there. They go, oh, and there's bars out there, too.
Oh, there you go.
So mm-hmm. I thought they were just going out there to drink, but it turns out they're going out there. They got hungry, and then there was no food, so they went back in.
Big conga line going out and coming back.
Exactly. They were all dancing.
It.
They're all dancing to whatever this is. There you go. It's the floor.
Congressman, I want to ask you something, though, because it's the decision to pass on this convention seems somewhat unprecedented, certainly in recent history of conventions. Senator Kirk and Governor Rauner here in Illinois decided not to go. But you also have Governor John Kasich, whose state is hosting, and he's not going to be at the convention. Do you think that's the right decision here? And do you respect their decisions to not be there?
Yeah, I'm not going to criticize anybody for not coming, and I think everybody's got to make their own decision. I chose to come because I think I'm a part of this party, and I want to be a part of the discussion about the future. I think when it all comes down to it, though, it's like less than a one-day story, actually, about who's here and who's not here when it all comes down to it.
It's all over. By Thursday, it's certainly all
done.
Over because everything moves on to...
And the public generally is not focusing in on who's showing up and that kind of thing. Now, I've gotten some decent feedback from delegates from mm-hmm. Illinois as I've been out and about, say, hey, thank you for coming. But if I go home, you know, it's not going to be the subject of a lot of discussion at home. Did you go or did you not go?
Mm-hmm. Although I think there are some Republicans who concern themselves with the future, and that's why they're keeping their powder dry about Donald Trump. Bruce Rauner, is an excellent example. Mark Kirk's in a very tight race right now, so
right.
You see why that's going on. But I think there are some that just don't want to be necessarily on the wrong side of this. Now, maybe Trump. I can't believe I'm actually going to say these words, but I'm going to say them anyway. Maybe if Trump wins, which the week Hillary has had so far, he's got a very good shot at it. New York Times says 76% chance that Hillary will win, but that's down from like 92 a couple
right.
of weeks ago, right? So It's trending toward him, at least at the moment. If he wins and he is even moderately successful as a president, he seems like the kind of guy that will remember who ignored him.
I'm sure. And then some. And so I think that you got a lot of people who are looking out at this and they're saying, okay, the decision to put Mike Pence on the ticket, mm-hmm. from my point of view, good move. I know Pence. I think he's a smart guy. He is he's a conservative, and you've got the conservative wing of the party that is assured by that. His decision, you know, when Trump rolled out a dozen names or so about people that he would consider putting on the Supreme Court, by and large, you look at those names, and I'm not familiar with all of them, but you go, all right, that's a pretty high caliber, pretty sharp group of people. And so if he is doing those types of things, then what it begins to communicate is he's transitioning from, you know, this sort of type of provocateur candidate that he's been to transitioning to the nominee of a major party, game on, and I want to win a general election. And every, you know, he does that and gets close, and then it's like, oh, you know what I mean? Oh,
he always does a little something, right?
Yeah.
And I you know, it's interesting. He hasn't spoken yet. He won't speak now until Thursday night. Mm-hmm. But it'll be very interesting to see what he does in terms of responding to protect his wife. Because, you know, she's enduring a lot of personal criticism here. It's really not her fault what happened. And it's, you know, it's one of those kind of on the edge moments, but it has distracted everything, right?
So here's my prediction. I think he will use it to his advantage. He will come out and he will defend his wife in some, you know, very very aggressive sort of way, and it will endear him to a group of people who will say, you know what, you're going game on, and there's nobody that's going to criticize you for defending your wife and
probably
so
true.
Forth.
Right. I think that's depends how he does it.
Yeah, but I think I look, this guy, he knows what he's doing. He knows how to sell tickets. He knows how to use events.
Excellent point.
And I think that's been the secret of his success so far.
Oh, no question about it. No question about it. So as you've walked around here, anything surprise you?
Well, the number of people like you here surprised me. I mean, the amount of media that is here simply takes my breath away. I mean, we were walking and walking and walking for a long time to find you, and then there's other buildings like this.
Yeah.
I just emceed a panel for the International Republican Institute. This is a group that's advancing democracy around the world. So you've got people from, you know, 40, 50 countries that have come to Cleveland. These are members of parliaments and their press, and they're absolutely fascinated by this thing. So, you know, it's not an overstatement to say the whole world's watching this.
There are 50,000 people here right now for this. 15,000 people that are in this particular security corridor. There's another 1,000 at the convention center, which is a separate building, and it doesn't house any of the operations. It's just workspaces for the campaigns and for media and for other people, organizations, like you're talking about. But then there are, so you have a total of, and I believe, the number I heard yesterday, although it seems bigger than me, there's 2,000 working press. I think there's more than that.
Yeah.
I think it's because when you take in all of the technical people who are here as well. And we're here next to CNN, and CNN has got there. I have never seen more interns. Thank God. I don't know, but I haven't been down to talk to the Fox News interns, but because I don't know where they fall on that whole Roger Ailes deal. But
that's big news today. We should talk about that later.
Yeah.
On the show.
Yeah, that'll be very interesting because the Drudge is now reporting that Roger Ailes is out.
In fact, Drudge tweeted out a copy of his. It was his departure agreement, legal agreement, and then deleted that tweet after he did that. But a lot of people, of course, it never goes away. They've stopped. They've, you know, taken a screen grab and are sharing.
Well, here's what happened. This is what finished him is Megyn Kelly. You know, there's a story that came out today that Megyn Kelly at some point earlier, not currently, but at some point earlier had made a similar complaint.
Oh, there you go.
And it wasn't even from Megyn Kelly disclosing that. It was somebody who was familiar with the situation legally. Who disclosed it.
Right, the Fox team had investigators kind of going around asking other employees and former employees, and some more things were unearthed, is what has been reported.
Right, and so Megyn Kelly gets, you know, who's there, you know, they're, she's essentially the
superstar.
Most important female personality on the station, if not most important personality on the station.
Right. You that know? Sounds like game, set, match.
Yeah, I mean, I think when that happens, because now she's going to be in a position to have to either defend that or not.
Tell the truth or not.
Yeah. and or comment on it at all, and a no comment, it speaks volumes, right?
Right.
Sure it does.
So that's going to be that will be very, very interesting. And that story is getting sort of swallowed up also here. And I think that the narrative about the speech here ends as soon as all this craziness begins in about an hour.
Yeah. We'll be talking about something else. Well, the other, just quickly, the other part that surprised me was the kind of, this is more quiet than I thought in terms of protesters and activity.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be game on, here we go, pretty intense, and it just hasn't been.
There's still some time to go.
That's a surprise to me, too.
Yeah, it's early.
Congressman, I also want to ask you, though, about, like, tonight you have, you know, people who are very loyal to Donald Trump, his children, notably Tiffany Trump and Donald Trump Jr. speaking. But then you also have, you know, Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell are going to be speaking. I want to ask about your expectations for what you think they're going to be saying tonight or what you want to hear from them.
Can you hold on one second?
Yeah, for
do
sure.
Do that on the other side?
Yep.
Let's get that answer on the other side because that's a great question.
Weekday mornings 4 to 10. It has everything you need to know and some things you just need to see. WGN-TV Morning News, Chicago's must-watch morning news.
Illinois Congressman Peter Roskam is sitting with us here at the Republican National Convention in Cleveland. And Anna just asked a question right before the break about, as Mitch McConnell and the Speaker of the House take the stage tonight at the convention, both of whom have been lukewarm,
right,
to cold on Trump.
Critical in some cases.
Yes,
right?
Especially in Paul Ryan's case. What do you think they are going to do?
Here's what I think they're going to try to accomplish. What they want to do is to communicate, look, we're not on board with everything that Donald Trump says. This is the subtext of what they're going to try and say. Mm-hmm. We're not on board with everything that Donald Trump says, number one. Number two, we are on board with the idea that we don't want Hillary Clinton to be president of the United States. And number three, we think we're going to be able to move a more conservative agenda that is sort of classically, authentically conservative, out of the House, out of the Senate, and get it on the president's desk. And we think it's more likely true that Donald Trump signs those bills than he doesn't sign them. So it's a complicated thing to communicate because you kind of want it both ways. In some ways, because if they go out, I mean, number one, they're not going to blast Donald Trump. But number two, they're not, to your point, they're not, like, fully there. And they want to hold back to say, look, there's some things that we just disagree with the man about. But we recognize that it's more upside than downside.
We've been told that some of the conversations are happening around here amongst the political types that are wandering here and surrogating both on the record and off the record. And one of the things that we are hearing, for not for attribution, is that there's a bit of a debate inside the Trump campaign about the conciliatory nature of his speech on Thursday night. Mm. How politically conciliatory is he going to be to some of the people that he's taken to task? Right?
Yeah.
Whether it is Paul Ryan for not jumping on board with him, or whether it is the Bush family, thanking the Bush family for their service to America, apparently is a debate point in the speech. So, you know,
it'll be
interesting to see what's going to happen there. I happen to think if he does that, I think he surges ahead of Hillary because people will see him as a responsible and a, you know, somewhat legitimate guy. He doesn't have to apologize because he's incapable of that.
Yeah. Right.
Right. But if he acknowledges them and thanks them for their service and says, yeah, this is a rough campaign, a lot of rough things.
Look,
have been said.
I think you're onto it because I think there's a huge percentage upside for him. He came in, he came to the House Republicans a couple weeks ago, early July. And he came in. It was off the record, you know, a couple hundred people. People treated him with respect, but nobody was falling all over him. You know what I'm saying? And he treated the group with respect. He wasn't saying you're a bunch of idiots and you're a bunch of losers. He was basically pitching, like, look, you know, stick with me. We can do great things together. Here's how I propose to do it. And it was very much a different tone of a Donald Trump. And I've never met him. So it's not as if I've ever interacted right with him, but I've seen the same person, you know, present himself on television and in these venues, but there was a different tone and a different disposition. And to your point, if he communicates some of that, you know, a little bit more of a closer, a little bit more of like, I need you and I'm going to pursue you. Because look, the way American politics works, our primary system is this. If you win, then you pursue the person who you beat because you need them in the fall. Mm-hmm. And there was this feeling that Trump had, I think, I don't know what his feeling was, but what he was communicating was, hey, I won. You lost, come support me. Right. And it's just not human nature.
Right.
You lose, and after
a guy, you're a loser because he called all of them losers.
Right. So now he's got to back that up, and I think, hopefully, from my point of view, he realizes, I need these people. Right. I cannot do this by myself. And so it comes down to this. Is Donald Trump just flipping the game board of American politics so much and so dramatically that he's redefining all these rules? There's an element of that. And to what extent does it overlap then with sort of the reality of the magnitude of this enterprise? That is,
the United States of America.
The United States of America, yeah. Which isn't a TV show. It's not a lounge act. It's not a resort. This is an enterprise unlike anybody, any person in the world, you know, is unprepared to become president.
Well, basically, the ship of state, and all of a sudden they give you the wheel.
Right? That's right.
And you better have people around you who tell you what all those dials mean and what all those buttons do.
That's right.
And I think that's one of the great fears. Does he have people around him like that? Because the people he's trotting out are not really that close to that circle.
So I think part of the remedy for him would be this could be the type of campaign where it's smart for him to lay out a cabinet in advance. To my point, I was impressed with Pence's pick.
Yeah.
I'm impressed with the caliber of people that he's talking about as possible picks on the Supreme Court. If he lays out some of these key positions and says these are the people that I propose to go after. Now, it presupposes though that they say yes. And that they're willing to go through sort of
and
that.
And he's been
vetting.
Bad at that. He's been throwing names out, even for this convention. Even Tim Tebow. That seems like the easiest putt ever.
Right.
They go, yeah, Tim Tebow is going to be speaking. And then Tim Tebow goes, I'm not speaking. No one talked to me about that. Ditka the
My
same
Ditka,
way.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, here's a guy, like I've said, and I love Coach, but he's a guy who would go to the opening of a door, right? So it's not like it's unusual for him to say no. Right? And he says no to this.
Right.
You know, and so there are some people that he would have to do that. He can't just float names. He's got to have some discipline. That's the biggest scary piece, I think.
Right.
Is his lack of discipline in this entire thing. Well, Congressman, thank you very much
Always
for being here.
Always a pleasure.
Have fun.
Thanks,
you're going to go down to the floor right now. We may check in with you a little bit later after the...
Maybe you can hear my voice. I'll be humming real loud, that background music.
Hold on. Let's listen to see what they've got down there right now. Oh, no. Oh, dead silence.
Nothing. No one's dancing?
No one's dancing. We don't have a camera on it. We're not overlooking it right now.
It's a good sign.
I don't know.
You won't have to dance, Congressman. You'll just be able to just hang out.
Oh, man.
Not
fair enough. Okay, now, there was yesterday, this is very funny. This was in the primetime show. There was some band that came out to open it, 5:45 Chicago time. And as they're dancing, and this was very weird. They showed some people trying to get rhythm. And I just want to say, as a group, Republicans don't have rhythm. I'm just going to say that. As a group, just leave it there. Exactly what I'm going to do. Just a blanket statement. And so when the music starts to play, you see swinging. And like husbands and wives don't, they can't, they, they're not coordinating.
Oh,
maybe
man.
The wife can dance and the husband can.
This is bad,
yeah,
man.
I know. No, it's bad.
You're coaxing everybody out into open country on this. This is very uncomfortable.
I know what I've done. Right. I know what I've done. All right, Congressman, again,
see you
thank
guys.
You very much.
Bye.
Appreciate it.